We're thankful to be here. Thank the Lord for Home Baptist Church, what she's meant to us through the years. And I did grow up about 5 miles from here. In fact, when I was born, it was my folks lived about a mile from here in town. And if you've been around Mount Morris for a number of years, my mother's parents, my grandfather Myers, is owned Depew Photo Service here in town for years. And if you've lived anywhere in Genesee County, they may have developed your film through the years, because they had a route around the whole county where they picked up film from drugstores and so forth. But so I've been a part of this area for actually half of my life. I'm 66, and we lived in Michigan 33 years, so it's half my life. But I'm thankful that the Lord has me where I'm at. And my oldest sister, who just passed in January, we'd come up here for conferences or whatever, and she'd say, "I'm glad to see you're back home." I said, "This isn't home. Home is where the Lord has me." But I also want to thank all you who prayed for us in this over the last few months when we had the skin cancer on the back of our neck, and it's been removed about it's about 6 or 7 weeks ago now, and they assured me that it's gone, and we're thankful for that. And you know, I've always been one, I don't get excited until you have to. But when they come back and they say, "I've got some good news and I've got some bad news for you." The bad news is that this is cancer, the biopsy we took on your neck. The good news is not melanoma. But when they first give you that C word, it kind of gives you a different thought. But at the same time, again, I said it, I don't get too excited until I have to. I guess I get that from my mother. But this morning we want to ask you to turn to Acts chapter 5. And as the Lord began to impress me about this, I had to do some great self-examination in preparation of this message. I believe this is something that plagues all of our churches severely today. And I believe it will continue. We want to begin reading with verse 1 here of Acts chapter 5. It says, "But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? After it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came upon all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, Tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, Yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, How is it that ye, having agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord, Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in, and found her dead, and carried her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. This is a very serious matter, the sin of lying to the Holy Spirit. It's very serious. And as we look within our churches today and amongst ourselves, God is blamed for a lot of sin. That's exactly what took place here. Ananias and Sapphira conspired together to keep a portion of which they promised to give all unto the church of Jerusalem, to keep it for themselves. Now, we aren't given all the details of what they sold the property for or anything. You know, you can imagine a lot of things here. Perhaps it sold for more than what they thought it would, so they decided to keep a profit for themselves. We don't know. But we do know that they had told the church at Jerusalem that we're going to sell this property we have, and we're going to give the entire proceeds to the church. Bear this in mind. They said, we're going to give all of this to the church. And they conspired together once they sold it to keep a portion for themselves. In so doing, when they made this promise, they had made a promise unto God. It wasn't just to the church. They made this promise unto God. And we see in this that Satan put this in their hearts. But it was their sin. And they lied unto the Holy Spirit. But we also see, which I, you know, some people, I don't know where their minds are. A lot of people think of the Holy Spirit, I think, as just something. But when you have lied to the Holy Spirit, as we see in verse 4, he says, the latter part, but thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Amen. When you lie unto the Holy Spirit, you've lied unto God. Amen. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. Amen. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and they are one. It's very serious. A very serious sin. And as I said, I had to search my soul greatly as I studied this out, that I am not guilty of lying to the Holy Spirit. I don't desire to sin. And as Brother Grigsby brought out, you know, repentance is a continuing grace in our life. And if you read and study and pray over the Word of God, you're going to see sin. And you're going to repent of sin. And if you're truly saved by the grace of God, when you end a day and you survey your life for that day, you're going to recognize sin and you're going to repent. There's a lot of people don't see that they've sinned against. They've lied against the Holy Spirit. They've lied to God. There are many things, many sins you can commit against the Holy Spirit. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. You can quench the Holy Spirit. And I believe a lot of these sins have taken place in those who have been saved by the grace of God, and they have no power in their life because they're bearing these sins, and they will not recognize these sins, and they do not repent of these sins. If you have sin in your life, you're not going to prosper. I heard a man preaching on the radio about last fall, and he said, you can look like you're prospering. He was talking about a church collectively. He says, you can draw a big crowd and make it look like you're prospering. But unless God's in it, you got nothing. And I believe there's a lot in that situation also. And why has that come about? Because they've lied to the Holy Spirit. You can draw a crowd, but you have nothing if you've lied to the Holy Spirit. Back in Isaiah, I believe this is a problem that exists when you have lied to God. Isaiah chapter 63 and verse 10. The Bible tells us here, now I know he's speaking about Israel collectively, but you can apply this individually and also to churches. He says, but they rebelled and vexed His Holy Spirit. Therefore was He turned to be their enemy, and He fought against them. Israel vexed the Holy Spirit of God, and He became their enemy. If this sin is in your life and you fail to repent of it, God's going to become your enemy. Your soul is saved, but your life can be ruined. We see here what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. If God dealt today with those who have lied to the Holy Spirit as He did with Ananias and Sapphira, how large would our number be? That's a fearful thought. But it's a true thought. I do believe there are many are sick spiritually amongst us. And many are asleep in Jesus at this time because of this sin. It plagues us. Just look a little closer here at Ananias and Sapphira. We've mentioned this, but they promised. They made a promise or a vow to sell a portion of land. It says a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. Not necessarily land, but they sold a possession. And kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Now, Satan is a liar from the beginning. He's the author of lying. He's the author of sin. And he is very slick. Much more than any of us here ever wanted to be. He will fill your heart and mind with temptation. And we know, if we can go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, and we know how he can paint a pretty picture of sin, leaving off the consequence. He doesn't ever show the consequence. When he came to Ananias and Sapphira here, he didn't tell them that God might kill you. He just said, they don't need all that. But they lied unto God. Satan filled their heart. And we see here it was Ananias and Sapphira. They conspired together much of the sinning against or lying against the Holy Spirit within our churches is a conspiracy between more than one person. They agree together to bring about this or to lie to the Holy Spirit. They concealed it together. Ananias and Sapphira were together when they sold their possession. They seen what they got, and they agreed together that we're only going to give this portion. We're going to keep some for ourselves. Because Peter asked her. And verse 7 says, and it was about the space of 3 hours after that his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, so much. I don't know what Peter asked her, if the amount that Ananias brought or the entire amount. Doesn't tell us. But she said, yes, for so much. And what does he say? And Peter answered her, verse 9, he says, Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of God? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry out thee, or thee out. They conspired together. How many times have we seen groups of people within our churches for most time because they get mad at somebody or something, and they will conspire together? Sometimes they broaden it out to bring other people into their little clique to do damage to an individual or to the church as a whole. They're lying to the Holy Spirit. It's very serious to lie to the Holy Spirit. And in the end, it's going to cost. It's going to cost. You know, we may survive, but it's going to cost. It's going to cost. Those who follow false doctrine, we're going to give some examples. Those who follow false doctrines are lying to the Holy Spirit. How many times through the years have we seen somebody come along with an idea, with a doctrine, and the first thing you know, they got a whole following? That has hurt our churches. And that will hurt our churches. It's lying to the Holy Spirit. God's Word is, you know, it was settled in heaven before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
As Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. And when it comes to the Word of God, it's not going to change. It's forever settled in heaven. But how many times has somebody come along with a new idea? And people have jumped on their bandwagon. And the first thing you know, churches are split. They've gone haywire. And some of them aren't even in existence anymore. How many people do you know over the years who picked up on somebody's new idea that aren't even serving the Lord anymore? Why? Because they've lied to the Holy Spirit. There's no prosperity in their life spiritually. And again, you wonder, were they saved? That's not a question for us to answer. That's between them and the Lord. But the Holy Spirit will never change this word. Acts chapter, let's look back in John chapter 16. And again, you know, the Holy Spirit's blamed for a whole lot of stuff. But we find here, beginning in verse 12 of John 16, he says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, that's the Holy Spirit, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. The Holy Spirit will never lead you into error. Never lead you into error. He will, and if you get somebody who hears a new doctrine, you better run away from it. If it's not in this Bible, it's not of God.
Amen.
It's a lie under the Holy Spirit. There are many false religions out here today who claim that they are led of the Holy Spirit. They are not led of the Holy Spirit. Heard a man on our local radio station preaching, and he was going through the qualifications of pastors and deacons from third chapter of 1 Timothy. And a lot of what he was saying was pretty good. Until he began his closing remarks. And what he was in his closing remarks, he was saying that, you know, when it talks about the deacon, it gives some qualifications for his wife also. And he finished by saying, well, if she's the one that's called to the position, then the husband needs to follow these things. He says, but you're a moron. I don't think he heard me. But turns out he was Assemblies of God. You know, God's never called a woman to preach. Never will call a woman to preach. And if you hear somebody that says she has, they're lying to the Holy Spirit. And if they say they can speak in tongues, they need to go back and read the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians and 2nd and 14th chapter. They're liars. When this which is perfect is come, that shall be done away with. And if you look at it also, there never was a woman that spoke in tongues. And if you've ever been in any of those churches, and that's what I was raised in, women do most of the speaking in tongues. Lying to the Holy Spirit. We must see many among our own churches who falsely divide the Scriptures. Falsely. You know, when we have men or women that teach either small children up through even adults in our churches, we need to be careful on who's teaching. We may need to make sure that they know what they're teaching, because a lot of false ideas have come through the Sunday school rooms. Pastors, we're responsible for everything that's taught or preached in the church that the Lord has given us to pastor. We need to be careful that no one lies from our pulpits or our classrooms. And there's been much of that through the years. The Holy Spirit is God and does not deny God. As we see in 1st or 2nd Timothy. Let's look in 2nd Timothy for a minute. In chapter 2. 2nd Timothy chapter 2. And verses, starting in verse 10. He says, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. God cannot deny himself. He's not saying that he won't. He's saying he cannot. He cannot because he is God. He's God and he changes not. He says, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. God cannot deny himself. He cannot change. And if you lie unto him, you're going to pay the consequence. You're going to pay if you don't repent. If you don't repent, you will suffer the consequence. And it may not be today. You know, Ananias and Sapphira, they died on the spot. And we see in those scriptures it was to teach those there a lesson. That it's a serious thing to lie unto God. It's a serious thing to lie unto God. And God doesn't always collect today. You know, there was, I don't remember who told the story, but I heard it many years ago, that next to an old country church, there was a farmer who was going to prove to the church, that pastor, that he didn't know what he's talking about. That the Lord's Day could be used for whatever you want. He went out, he plowed his fields, he planted his fields, he cultivated his fields, he harvested his fields all in Sunday, and he got the biggest crop he'd ever had in his life. And he come up to that pastor and he says, you see here, I'd done all this on Sunday, and look what I've got. And the old pastor looked at him and said, God doesn't always collect on Sunday. You know, God does not always collect on the moment. He did Ananias and Sapphira to give us the truth that it cost you if you lie unto the Holy Spirit. It's going to cost you. God is not a man that he would lie. He's not a man that he can change. His word was forever settled in heaven before the foundation of the world. The Holy Spirit will not lead you against God or any other person. Let's go back to Acts again, chapter 5, and then we'll go look in James chapter 1. Note here again what Peter says to Ananias. In verse 3, he says, and Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back part of the price of the land? Why has Satan filled your heart? He was not tempted of God to lie. Satan tempted him. Satan tempts. In James, in chapter 1, for those who would like to blame God for their temptation. And we've seen this concerning those who have lied to the Holy Spirit, blaming God. You cannot blame God for your sin. In verse 13 he says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. We're all going to die here someday because of sin. When we're born into this world, we begin to die because of sin. But we can't blame God. He was tempted. When you're tempted of your own lust. Satan tempted Ananias and Sapphira and the lust of their flesh at the influence of Satan said, we're going to keep this portion for ourselves. It's a serious sin. And we need to examine these things. We've seen envy and jealousy amongst church members have brought about lying to the Holy Spirit. You know, when something goes wrong because of your envy or you're jealous, who do you blame? The pastor. Some of you know we had some problems a couple years ago. And some of those, when I talked to them during this time, they said, well, you didn't do this and you didn't do that. We knew this was going on, but we didn't tell you. Well, how in the world can you do something if you don't know anything about it? You're lying to the Holy Spirit. You're conniving together to bring about something that you want done. That's lying to the Holy Spirit. God does not bless such. God hates such. And you will pay the price. Through the years, as a member of a New Testament Baptist church and also pastoring, I've seen people move from one church to another because they've gotten mad at somebody in the church, at the pastor or something else. God does not move mad spirits. You've lied to the Holy Spirit. And as long as you carry that sin around in your heart, you'll never prosper. You have that sin. And sin that's unrepented of will only continue to fester in your soul. It'll only continue to cause you more problems. And the longer that type of sin is in your life, the more you're going to look around and see something wrong with somebody else. Take care of yourself first. Amen. Get your own hearts clean. Get your own life straight. Then you might be able to help a brother or sister that's in sin. When you see sin in another person's life, it's not for the purpose of destroying them. You're supposed to help them. But as the Lord told us in that 7th chapter of the book of Matthew, you get that beam in your eye and you only see a toothpick in somebody else's because you can't see that beam. That's exactly what he's talking about here as far as sinning against the Holy Spirit. You got that beam, jealousy and deceit. I've seen people point their fingers and talk about somebody else. They run before the church and they say, the Lord's forgive me of some sins. I made some things right. And before they leave the church building, they're doing the same things that they're just supposed to have confessed. They've lied against the Holy Spirit. I realize that the apostles asked the Lord, how many times should we forgive a brother? 7 times in a day? And the Lord knows, says 7 times 70. 490 times a day. If somebody sins against you and they truly repent and ask forgiveness, he says there's no limit. That's, I believe, what he's saying. There's no limit to how many times you forgive them. But there's no repentance. If you come before the church and say, I've made this right, but before you hit the door, you're right back at the same thing. There's no repentance. That's lying against the Holy Spirit. That's lying against God. Some of our churches are in bad shape in this regard. And again, in James chapter 1 and verse 15, he says, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You know the problem I've seen with many people like Ananias and Sapphira? I haven't done anything wrong. I haven't sinned. I haven't done anything wrong. It's because you haven't examined yourself. You haven't read the Scripture. Jealousy is a sin. Envy is a sin. Gossip is a sin. And when you have these things laying in your heart, and you look at somebody else who sneezed when they and didn't cover their mouth, and you make a federal case of it, it's sin. You're lying against the Holy Spirit. That may be a bad example, but that's the way some people are. He didn't shake my hand, or she didn't shake my hand. They didn't show any Christian spirit. What are you talking about it for? If you think they've wronged you, go talk to them. Make it right. That's what the Scripture says. You don't call a special meeting and say, you know what he did or she did? I think we ought to exclude him. You didn't do it, Pastor. Grow up. That's what a lot of people need to do. They need to grow up. Amen. Quit blaming the Holy Spirit for your imperfections. You know, we see, we won't turn there, but in Joshua chapter 7, we can see the causes of sin. Up to that 7th chapter, Israel had gone into Canaan, and they was victorious. Joshua fell down before his face, before God, when they come to Jericho, and God instructed him, you have the army march around Jericho once a day for 6 days. On that 7th day, you have a march around the city of Jericho 7 times. And the last time, you have those priests blow the horn and the walls will come down. He says, there's one thing about it, Joshua, that you need to observe. Do not take any gold or any silver or anything else out of that city. And they destroyed Jericho. When they come up to Ai, there's sin in the camp. And Joshua sent some spies down there. I said, this is just a little tiny town. We don't need the whole army of Israel. All we just send a few thousand down there. And what happened? Because there was sin in the camp. 36 died. And how did Joshua react to start with? God, what'd you do this to us for? How come this happened? God said, there's sin in the camp. There's sin in the camp. How many times? Why do we have sometimes so many problems within our churches? There's sin in the camp. And what sin is it most of the time? Somebody has lied against the Holy Spirit. Somebody has said, there's no sin in my life. I haven't done anything wrong. That people not come to church for 3 months. And I haven't done anything wrong. How come you're going to discipline me? You haven't been here. You haven't given us any legitimate reason why. You're lying to the Holy Spirit. You're lying. There's sin in the camp. And Israel didn't have any more success until that sin was removed. When Achan and his family were stoned to death, they had victory over Ai. They had victory after the sin was removed. One reason why we have a lot of people in our churches today who are lying against the Holy Spirit is because they are living the lives of Pharisees. Let's look back in Luke chapter 18. We find here the Pharisee and the publican. And this Pharisaic attitude, I got in big trouble. Well, I didn't really get in big trouble. Got a lot of people mad and left one time when I preached about Pharisees. They got offended because I called them Pharisees. I didn't call them anything. I just preached the Word of God. And they thought I was talking specifically about them. We all can be Pharisees. And there's all times that we are Pharisees. But he says, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. You know, those thumbs can pull those lapels out pretty good. Look at me. Look what I've done. Look what I'm doing. Do we need to tithe? We do. Do we need to boast about tithing? Absolutely not. Do we need to do or live as this Pharisee claimed he did? We do. But it's not a matter of boasting. It's a matter of thankfulness. It's not a matter to say, look at me, I haven't done anything wrong. It's humility. We need to humble ourselves in this life. We need to surrender our lives in this world. We need to search our souls continuously, that we walk according to the will of God. This publican, whom the Pharisee had just condemned, says, and the publican, standing afar off, would not lift so much as his eyes unto heaven, but he smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. I would rather be the publican than the Pharisee. The publican realized he was a sinner. The Pharisee didn't. Many of those who, as we said, who lie against the Holy Spirit, they don't think they've done anything wrong. Doesn't it make any difference if you run down the pastor? Doesn't make any difference if you run down another church member? Doesn't matter what you do. You have not done anything wrong in your own eyes. But you've lied to the Holy Spirit. You've lied unto God. And there will be consequences. You will pay the price. It may not be today, but you will pay the price. There's always a cost. Sin will always cost you something. And sometimes it's after the cost comes in that you realize. How many people have you seen with broken hearts because God has brought chastisement into their life? And by chastisement, I'm not just talking about on your physical body. I'm talking about maybe within the members of your family. Maybe it may be your job. It may be something else in your life that God brings judgment upon. But He will bring judgment. I heard this man preaching one time here also. I may have already said this. If I did, you have to excuse me. I'm 66 now. But he was preaching. He says, just because you draw a big crowd and have a large congregation doesn't mean that God's blessing you. If it's not of God, God hasn't blessed it. And all of us, in a sense, would like to see every seat, every pew filled with people to preach to. We'd all like to see that. Not to boast, but as Brother Grigsby has said, to preach the gospel. I'd love to preach the gospel to a crowd every Sunday. But on the other hand, I'd rather preach to those whom God has given me than just to have a crowd. Let's not lie to the Holy Spirit. Let's be careful when we look at others and begin to judge. And judgment begins at home. And when I say home, I'm talking about here. Myself. I can't repent for you. I can't, but you know, we can aid others in their sin. If we don't expose sin, we're aiding their sin. If you know somebody has done something wrong, go to them. Don't talk about them. Go to them. Let them know. Brother, sister, I believe you've done this. I believe you're guilty of this. Sometimes you'll be received and other times you won't. But leave that in God's hands. You know, as pastors, if we don't know something's going on, we can't do anything about it. If someone needs to be disciplined, and you know, some people, and some of these people that we've seen deal with this that lie against the Holy Spirit, first thing they think if somebody's done something wrong, you've got to discipline. That's not necessarily the first step you take. They have to know they've done something wrong. And they have to have time or space to repent, to get it right. And then when it goes beyond that, then discipline comes in. And discipline is not meant, as some people think, just to throw somebody out. Discipline is a corrective measure. It's to correct a situation. And to see the one who has committed the offense, that they might get it right. That they would repent, that they would as and like and those who have lied against the Holy Spirit, that you would confess that and turn from that. If we would see sin as sin, starting at home, and repent and get things right, I believe our churches would be a whole lot better off. Thank you.